exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready.
Vamanos!
To explore like never before.
Swiper knows. Swiping!
Oh, man!
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Mike and Miana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast for episode 7 of Survivor 41. My name is Mike Bloom, here to talk about the beginning of the merge. I guess putting a meh in merge, I suppose, as we're not completely finishing the word yet. The first of a two-part episode. They really dooned us on this one, but I'm excited to get into it. Grains of sand and all, much like through an hourglass, Liana Boris, that we are promptly going to smash you over the course of this podcast.
Yes, excited to improperly use so many objects. You know, I'm actually not even speaking into a microphone. I decided to use a can today, so I hope that the quality goes all right. But yes, I mean, look, Jeff said I was going to ruffle some feathers, and I think this episode warrants a lot of discussion.
Yeah, there are feathers all over the place at this point, but I am thrilled beyond belief to bring on the guest for this particular week, because you may know him from around these podcast streets. You might not know he's a fan of Survivor, but today we dive into his fandom and much more around season 41. You know him from his work on many, many podcasts. My Brother, My Brother and Me, The Adventure Zone, Sawbones, Besties. He has more podcasts, greater than the number of people who dressed up than Jeff Probst and Boston Rob over the course of Halloween. I am thrilled to welcome Justin McElroy to the B&B. Hi. Justin, how's it going?
What a pleasure it is to be here. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So this is amazing. I'm so excited about this, albeit, you know, I'm so glad that I was able to turn back the hourglass and tell a previous version of myself that this would happen, to incept the idea in my head. I don't know what this is going to hold for future consequences, but for the time being, I'm thrilled with how things are.
Yeah. Well, it's working out so well. I hope no one turns the hourglass around and makes us do it again in a different way. The power of the hourglass is still so strange.
I guess we don't actually know what happens if you flip it over. We just know what happens if you smash it, right? Like, if you flip it over, does a different twist happen? I don't know.
It was so wild when Jeff was like, he's like holding an hourglass, which we all know, like, the symbology of the hourglass is like, you turn it, the sand works in reverse. And where are we on cursing on your show?
Absolutely. Please, first of all.
He's like, just smash this bitch. Just smash it. And it's like, Jeff, I don't think you have to, anybody, like, props probably worked on this for a little bit. Like, you know, it's just, you just turn it. It's an hourglass thing.
Well, but so there's also this season, though. Remember, they're each given a dice, and they're like, all right, what do we do? Do we roll the dice? No, you put it in this little contraption, and then you get a shot in the dark. I love this. Honestly, might be my favorite part of the season is like,
You have to smash the dice too. And inside is a smaller die that will tell you your fate after you smash this die.
Oh, I love Russian nesting dice. I think that'd be a really fun idea. Yeah, I love this idea of Jeff going to the art department like 3 a.m. and being like, all right, I have this great idea to build this thing. Okay, like, great. What are we going to use it for? Well, actually, it's more so a vessel for this convoluted twist idea that I have. It's a fantastic way to think through how Jeff Probst views the world. I think this is like a slowly simmering psychological experiment towards his mindscape.
I have this idea that Jeff went to one of those rooms where you break stuff over the whole break. And he was like, look, guys, let's smash everything, whatever it is, smash it, die, hourglasses, doesn't matter, break it.
It's funny. You know, we do. I don't know if you normally have like a structure or if it's just more freewheeling chat.
I mean, listen, we'll do some stuff later rain on. But I think people listen to this know that like the wheels are off the cart at this point.
Feel free to rein me in if I'm rambling too much or thinking too much about Survivor, which is common for me. But like we do a weekly podcast, two weekly comedy podcasts, just me and my brothers. My wife and I do another one. And when you're making stuff at that rate, you don't have a lot of time for like slow down and like think about it, right? It's like make. I feel like Survivor has been on that same like trajectory, right? Where they're churning out two seasons a year. It's what, like, there's probably not a lot of time to like sit around and think about like the next thing because oops, you're already making the next Survivor. This season feels to me like the people who got make Survivor were able to skip a Survivor. And they now have twice as the idea that you would call some of your ideas is foreign to them. And it's just like, we have this many ideas. That's what we have to put in this season of TV. It's like, you don't have to do two subversions of the merge in the exact same beat. Like you already did it by splitting people up. And then they had to compete for like, you already did that. And then just be like, there's also the psych hourglass where you can say psych and the opposite of it happened, which is bizarre.
I like the idea. The psych hourglass, I think, is a much better name. Look, it's very, very temperamental this season as to what things are named what. Like, we got a name for the sanctuary this episode, but we still don't know this ship wheel island that they go to every episode. But I like the idea of the psych hourglass because as much of a meal as people have made with the idea of time travel this week, right, with like the sand represents everything that's past. It is sort of like the whole Borat knot of it all, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you won this thing. Not, it's actually this other group. It's less so about actually changing the space-time continuum.
Yeah, it's right the line of like, I feel like Survivor, for me to stay engaged with it, it always has to walk this line of like evolving the game while not, and it's like it has to bend but not break, right? Because if you do one too many things, the fact that it's utter Calvin ball, and like completely nonsensical will be revealed. But if you just slowly but surely twist it with like these little tiny advantages and little tiny ideas, I feel like this episode really walked the line for me of like, this is all starting to feel a little bit like, well, I have the super wicket. And if you kick the idol through the super wicket, then it undoes the consequences of the other 14. It's like, okay, guys, let's calm down a little bit.
Yeah, the delicate balance of the Survivor space-time continuum, you know, like you push it too far in one direction and the fabric just falls apart, right? And you just it kind of exposes like, oh yeah, this is just a man-made construct, you know, like Survivor's not infallible. We can have some bizarre twists, whether that's a product of sort of built up, I don't know, excitement over not being able to film Survivor for 2 years because of the pandemic. And so that's why they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at the wall. But it definitely feels so much this season.
So, Justin, you spoke about spending perhaps too much of your time thinking about Survivor, which never too much time thinking about Survivor from our purviews. But I'm sure, as I mentioned before, and I certainly have received a lot of this when people were chomping at the bit for you to come on, that they did not know you were a Survivor fan. So I would love to hear from you. When did you first start getting into the show? You know, have you been watching on the reg since that happened? What has been your own history of Survivor?
I actually started like my first season was the first season. Like it was, it went all the way back to the beginning. I remember watching Geo Challenge with my dad in like Geo Challenge was the thing I played at school for to learn geography. Eco Challenge with my dad. We would like sit and watch just like all of that in like a marathon session. And so I was very excited. He told me like, you know, that guy's making this desert island show that you could that. And so like, that was very intriguing to me. So I've been watching since the beginning. I do have a habit of like usually my wife is a fan too, and we watch together, and like we kind of have an unspoken thing where like we're not always going to be 100% watching every season. If we're into one, that's fine. We'll see it through to the end. But we have in several instances just sort of like, okay, like, and a lot of the times it's like the casts are too big and they're not clicking, and like there's no personal stakes or emotional connections to like get into. And so we'll sort of like let it lapse, knowing that like in 6 months, another train will be along and we'll hop on then. Sort of off and on, Survivor. When I'm into it, I'm really into it. But it's like, it has to click for me. I'm not just going to watch mm-hmm. out of, obligation.
And it's the people that you connect with having some type of investment in the season. Do you think that that's sort of what defines whether or not you're going to stay with it?
That is definitely like, I feel like both factors kind of have to be there. It's hard because I feel like if you have a cast that's working, one of my quibbles with the more modern era of Survivor is I feel like the producers of the show have an over-reliance on mechanics and to the detriment of the people that are on the island. We're like spending so much time learning about the advantages that are like have so many conditions on them that take so long to explain. And yet there are players who like haven't said two sentences, and they like, they'll come up and like, are you sure you're on the show? Like who are, who is this supposed to be? Cause like we haven't spent any time with them. Like that when the amount of mechanics get in the way of like, you guys just didn't have like compelling people, and like with no compelling relationships, I think that it has to be a confluence of those two things, I think, to really rope me in.
Yeah, and it's tough because what I would say is, so far to your point, like I'm gonna talk out of my ass and use a fishing analogy here, like I feel like we were slowly reeling in on this season, right? Like, yeah, there might have been some weird advantages thrown in, but for the most part I think we were really focusing on the people,
yeah,
which I think it's a really cool electric group of people. And then all of a sudden we just started like cranking really, really fast because we thought we were getting close with everything with this episode. And not to say that there weren't parts I didn't enjoy. You know, the merge is exciting because it's an idea of these different parties, especially considering how separated they've been this entire early stages, finally coming together. It's cool to see like Nasir and Xander talking, for example, because those are moments that we didn't experience before and now get to. Unfortunately, I think it got a little bit shrouded in the mist of all of these multi-stepped or like multi-tiered advantages coming along. But I very much feel like this is a season of a really fun group of players. Your mileage may vary as to whether or not you feel they are or not being like hosed by all the things being thrown their way. But this is just a great group of people that I was excited to see come together in some sort of way.
I don't mind when people get hosed, because I think it gets so boring when people are like, trying to predict. They got in a real bad place, like I would say maybe 6 or 7 seasons ago, where people were predicting, like they're playing the end of the game at the beginning, right? They would start eliminating, like, this guy's got a great story, he could really beat me in the million. We're freaking 13 people away from that happening, but I'm gonna eliminate them now. It's like, you're just really, you don't want to, okay, like try to instill some sense of like camaraderie. And there's no, and I feel like people were playing the post-merge game at the beginning, and you lost that like tribal connection that you had before, where it's like that would mean something, right? And then it just became like, I also got frustrated after that sort of phase. I feel like, and this was sort of mixed in with that, but like, where you had this idea of voting blocks. Remember this, like that idea being a very big deal, where it was just like, well, we're just going to literally tell this person, like, you're going home today because we have this number of people. And we're just like, we've aligned these two groups and like, you're going home.
Wait a minute. Could the voting block actually be the name of the dice? Maybe it's not a dice. Maybe it's a voting block and it's just a cube that deals with your hook.
That's why you don't roll it, right? It makes sense. You put it in the volcano.
You do not roll the voting block.
So I'm all for, like, I think that there's, I actually got a big kick out of, I think the take two players out to the island and then have them each decide if they want to, like, the sort of like prisoner's dilemma kind of deal that they're taking people out to do is like, takes a lot of time and is not necessarily super impactful so far. That said, I get a big kick out of the world where people have to keep repeating secrets. Secret phrase. I think that's hysterical. I'm fully in the bag for that one. I think that that's great. But so as long as it's like reinforcing something or introducing some cool like drama into it, I love that. I think that as long as it doesn't get too complex to where it's like, well, I can't even follow it anymore. The problem I had with the hourglass thing was, I don't mind throwing a pipe bomb in and making drama. I think that's great. And I think that like people thinking they're safe and then they aren't is fun. But like there isn't a reality in which Erica does not smash this hourglass, right? Because if she smashes it, she's safe. And if she doesn't smash it, she's not. And this is like primal survivor here, like you get through this vote no matter what, you know what I mean? If you have a guaranteed way to get through this vote, if they had found some way to like remove her from the equation, like she was safe regardless, I think it would be more interesting. But like there's no reality in which she does not smash this thing, so like that the competition right before that then becomes like you are playing to lose, like whoever does the best loses and gets hurt for it. And it's always this big deal. Like, I feel like Survivor, especially Jeff, like absolutely despises the idea of people throwing challenges. Like, it is like as close as you can get to cheating in Survivor. Nothing is cheating really, but it's like as close as you can get to cheating in Survivor. I feel like it drives Jeff crazy. Like, he hates people that do it, right? But this is like introducing that questioning into it of like, you know, maybe this is one of those challenges that we're supposed to lose because someone's going to smash an hourglass. And that I feel like really goes against Survivor at its core, which like, while not fair, there should be some sense of meritocracy to it, right? The idea that like outplay, outwit, outlast, like this does not reinforce any of those values. I think you're just getting punished for winning. And I think that kind of stinks.
I mean, that's definitely really interesting. I wonder if Nasir had been the one that was sent to smash the hourglass. This is Nasir. He just seems like a guy who maybe would have been willing, because it was the majority of the Luwu, the blue tribe, that won. I wonder if he would have sort of sacrificed himself thinking that, okay, I want to keep the rest of my tribe happy because it would be, you know, 3-4 people that I would want to work with.
I mean, so do you wonder if he does have an idol, though he doesn't know about the idol stealing that could happen, but he could feel like, I mean, he had this confessional, right? Which makes me feel very nervous for my lovely Nasir next episode. Oh, no. Being like, I'm in a great position. I have an idol. I'm safe. That's an interesting point, Liana. Maybe Erica, I think, did. I totally agree with Justin. It's a no-brainer. It was a non-cliffhanger, right? Yeah. Like, we know this is going to happen. I would not be surprised if 2 seconds from Jeff stepping away and getting on that boat, she already smashed it, because not only, you know, is she safe, she's also on the bottom. She is being targeted at camp, and she's away for 2 days and 2 nights in a 26-day game. To be away for a 13th of that amount of time is just wild. And so I think they really did set up all of these factors to encourage somebody to do it, which I guess is understandable from a producing perspective. But Stephen Fishback talked about this on Twitter. Doesn't really feel like a choice.
It's not a choice.
Yeah. It's like, so you can either come over here and have $50,000 and a gold Mercedes, or you can come over here and have some dirt, but it's your choice. Which one would you like? You know, I mean, clearly, even Jeff, the way he phrased it was very much weighing on the scale of, you can participate in the greatest twist to ever happen on Survivor, or not, right? So it just feels so weighted. And I guess I understand why they want it from a production standpoint to happen, but I love it when players are given a choice and it's actually truly a choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I totally agree with you, Justin. I think the suggestion could have been either have Erica safe no matter what, or have her not be safe no matter what, which something would be interesting.
I mean,
as well.
Yeah.
Because then she's essentially picking, like, okay, what pool do you want to be vulnerable with? And it's almost an idea of, okay, pick who you think you have the best chance of surviving against. If that's the case, maybe don't put her out there for half a week. But I think, yeah, presenting it as no matter what, you are either safe or unsafe, I think removes that variable from the equation. So then you can focus on the other thing.
And I get that I think that complaining about the overabundance of mechanics is a little bit, I know that's kind of annoyingly Monday morning quarterback, because there's no way to know what the chemistry is going to be like, how it's going to cut together, any of that stuff when you're planning like game mechanics. Like, for all they knew, they would need all this, right? And it's not like you can take those mechanics out later if the cast is clicking. But because this episode had great, like, one of the things, it's a subtle thing that I really like about this season of Survivor, is that they have in previous seasons, and maybe this is something you've talked about already and is like self-evident, but like in previous seasons, if you didn't see Nasir get that advantage before the competition, it would be absolutely unthinkable that he would present it, right? Mm-hmm. You don't do surprises in that way. And I really like, a couple of times now, they've played with the timeline to make something dramatically more interesting. And I think that's great. That's the kind of change I can get on board with, where like shaking up the formula actually makes that like reveal land better. And I think that that's much more compelling to me than the old Survivor trick of like showing the like most cut together conversation between two people that kind of maybe makes it seem like they're not going to eliminate the person they're absolutely going to eliminate. You know, when they start like cutting to fires and snakes way too much, it's like, these people did not have this conversation. You were just like, this is just like B-roll that someone has hacked together in a lab somewhere to try to build a storyline.
Yeah, and that's the thing of like, just throw some nature in to disguise their identities. Maybe that'll help.
That beat landed really good for me. And I really like, because I like Nasir. I think he's a fun player. I also really dug the dynamics of that scene between Sean and Ricard when she wanted the idol back and he wasn't willing to give it to her. And I thought that was like, I could watch like 10 minutes of this. This is really good, because there's like a lot going on here in terms of like how we understand playing Survivor. And I really like that. I thought that was really good. But just like people, right? It's just that core Survivor thing of like, we can't. And I think somebody even said in this episode, like, you can't trust anyone on Survivor and you have to trust people on Survivor. Like both of those things must be true simultaneously. And I thought that scene really highlighted it.
Yeah, Liana, it almost seemed like something made out of like a Sam Shepard play, right? This like two-hander of just complete tense dramatics. And I thought we were done with it last episode, and then we start with this.
Yeah, they're right back on it.
Yeah, like, all right, Act 2 is back. Here we go.
Oh my gosh, I know. Because it was before the vote, after the vote, and then the day after the vote, right? Like, this is a confrontation that was going on for at least 24 hours of contention and awkwardness. I'm so happy they included it. It was just a perfect moment of reality TV. And the way that the two were interacting with one another, I just really enjoyed watching. I'm so curious to know what their relationship is going to look like moving forward, because you are the last two from this tribe and now you're going into this whole group. Theoretically, you would be so bonded together because you voted everyone out of your tribe together, but yet there's this underlying conflict of the infamous extra vote.
I think that Sean is maybe not as, I think that she's getting a really good edit, because I feel like she's maybe not as strong of a player as the edit is making it seem, or like her confidence is making it seem, because there's a couple things in this episode. Like, I very much, if you know you're going into the merge and you know you have one person that is like with you, I very much do not agree with like not leaning into that full bore. Like, if either he's with you or he's not, and if he's not, you're already dead. So like, just try to build the trust, right? Like, and fighting against it and like undermining that trust, I think is such a bad play. And then later in the episode, she blows up Lyanna's spot about the advantage. And it's like, what are you, like, this is Survivor. You don't say anything. Like, don't talk about anything. You don't say that kind of thing. Well, what's wrong with you?
This is the thing, though. I do wonder, because she's used to, like, these small groups of people, right? Is it just conditioning that she's in front of Tiffany and Lyanna? She's like, oh, yeah, like, Jeannie and Ricard and I talked all about the advantage all the time. I'll bring it up in front of mixed right. company and see what happens. And Tiffany's like, what the hell are she talking about? It was... Oh boy. See that again, these are the things that I really enjoyed, is like the tenseness that can come from the fact that, hey, here are these new friends, and this is sort of two different friend groups meeting for Lyanna of, all right, right, let's see how yeah. these two people get along.
I thought you yeah, said I was your best friend. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Be like, you're both my best friend. And that was what is so interesting. I'm so happy you bring it up about her edit, Shan's edit, is because it definitely feels like we're heading towards her downfall, because we're getting to see these little snippets where it's a potential mistake, whether that be because of lack of food or whether or not it's, you know, because she's a messy game player, which I think she's pretty messy, or it's a conscious choice to kind of throw Lyanna a little bit under the bus to Tiffany. But then that's a terrible choice, honestly, if you're planning on working with Lyanna long term. So I love seeing, again, all of these little snippets to see where her game is headed, because I think I agree with you, Justin. I think it's a great edit, and I think she's headed for a downfall.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, let's start getting into some stuff here on the B&B, because we can certainly talk more about this episode through these different lenses. So we'll step up to the optometrist from that perspective. Now, Justin, on my brother and me, you are an advice show for the modern era. You try to answer people's questions each and every week. So in honor of the occasion, I had some listeners write in with some Survivor-branded advice questions. Okay. And so I'm wondering if you could, you know, change hats for a second, go from the Jeff Probst hat to maybe, I don't know what your Mabim Bam hat is, but see if we can talk about some advice questions that we might be able to answer for the contestants or from Survivor fans, from them directly.
I feel like kind of like I've been put on the clock, but I will do my best. I'll endeavor to.
You get time and a half for this.
Okay, good.
This is your Memorial Day.
Wow, hold on. I got to do the math on 0 times 0.5. Really nice.
All right. Well, actually, I want to start with Shan and Ricard, because we have a question here that says, my ally gave me back my extra vote advantage, which was cool and all, but he definitely just folded it up and stored it in his shoe for a few days before he gave it back. Is this advantage still playable, or should it go in the fire? And that's from Foot Foul Freebie in Fiji. So yeah, people might not know this, but in the morning after scene, right, when Shan and Ricard have that tense standoff, so Ricard pulls the extra vote, like, oh, if you really want it, take it. He pulls, like, it out of his sock, and it was folded over, a very vast amount of time.
Yeah. And people out there are doing some sweating, like some serious sweating.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, you know, if you're from Footfeld, Freebean, Fiji's perspective, is the advantage playable? Is it trash? Like, what does BO desanctify any advantages at all?
I mean, you're running a risk. I think they're running a risk already in Survivor, considering the advent of like fake idols and also the preponderance of advantages now, so many of which, by the way, are like pieces of paper. This is what's great about like having some bones tied up with twine, right? Like, you're not gonna slip that into your sock. That's BO proof. But then you've just got like people walking around with papyrus inside their bombas. It's terrible. Like, this is why you have to have physical things and not just like these paper advantages, because they are getting passed back and forth to people, right? So it's like, here, hold this note. And I feel like there's enough fake outs out there that you run around, rest your hand into Jeff and be like, I actually don't remember if this is anything. I know we're going to have to review the tape. I don't remember if we did this one or not. It sounds kind of wild.
Well, and the one that Ricard pulled out too looked so crusty when he pulled it out.
Oh,
it was
crumpled and yeah. Oof.
No, it looked like you know, like one of those like "Do you like me?" check yes or no ones that was like folded over with the triangle stuff, yeah, just stuffed inside his shoe. I don't know.
He had played a MASH game with it earlier and was used as a fortune teller. Yeah.
My final two is Shan, and my shelter is the underground. Could Ricard play this off though? Could he be like, no, I wear socks on my hands because my hands get cold at night, so it didn't actually touch my feet. I held it the entire night.
I think at the point Ricard's at now, he doesn't give a shit. I don't think he actually cares what Shan thinks anymore.
Right. The way that he just so dejectedly threw it at her hand. Like, I don't think it really matters. You know, here's your advantage back with a side of fungus.
Maybe he smelled his own BO and that's why he threw it back as derisively as he does.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, I don't want it. All right, here's another
Ricard
one.
Ricard smells great, by the way. He looks like he smells great all the time, actually. I mean, we've been talking about his BO. I don't want people to think I think Ricard has any more BO than the average cat out there in Fiji.
He actually, his hair also looks fabulous out there. He's incredible. Just very put together.
If it was me, it would be like absolutely out to here. Yep. With like unmanageable. He looks great. It sucks.
Yeah, he very much has like a beachside romance vibes. Then you pair it with like, again, this like this attitude of like, no, like when Shan says, oh, the next one's yours, like, oh, thank you for giving me permission. Like, he pairs it with that type of attitude. I love how incongruous that is.
Oh, love it.
All right, here's a question from Frail Mary, who says, now that we have reached the merge, I'm really concerned about the individual challenges. I'm not worried about winning them. I'm awesome at challenges. But I am struggling to come up with a really great phrase I can shout when I win. Some suggestions would be great. Now, Justin, you are one to love the phrases being thrown out, even though I think that is dead and dusted when it comes to the advantage side of things. Are there more pieces of vernacular that you should bring into the individual portion, specifically when you end up getting that necklace?
I'm too concerned about catchphrases now, because one of my least favorite Survivor things is when Jeff decides that something is part of the national lexicon that he could stop saying tomorrow and I would not even notice at all. Like when he tried to spin, dig deep into, like, as I've always said in my great catchphrases of many on this show, I love Jeff Probst. He's the best in the business. Nobody on planet Earth is a better host of any TV show than Jeff Probst, easily. But the man does get up his own ass sometimes about his catchphrases. And like the fact that he was like, let me start let me wade into an absolutely fraught conversation about gender that I have no part in. Let me just wander into this headlong. And my entry point is, what do you all think about this thing I say on Survivor sometimes? Absolutely insane. Unhinged. That's one of the ideas they came up with during the break that I would have been like, let's just not. If you don't want to say it anymore, here, don't put the fucking moral weight of that onto your LGBTQ players. Maybe just like do it because it's like good to do, and don't like throw yourself a fucking graduation ceremony about the fact you don't say this anymore. Killzing. So no, I'm very suspicious of any catchphrases on Survivor, and I don't think anybody should have their own, because this show wants to like try to memorialize it in a Survivor Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's like, be careful, you'll end up in a Rebus puzzle one day if you come up with it.
That's what happened. I don't know if you noticed, but this past week's puzzle was, can I have your jacket, which is like something from a previous season. So yeah, it really is. Even if you don't intend to say it, if it gets immortalized, you either end up with a giant statue of yourself, or you end up like being used in puzzles for 6-year-olds that don't remember that moment whatsoever.
Why isn't there a Survivor Hall of Fame? Hasn't it gone long enough that doesn't it feel like there should be a fizz? I know that Survivor has passed its nadir of popularity, obviously, and did so after the first season, arguably, in terms of like it being a MASH finale level, like monoculture event. But like, don't you feel like there should be a building somewhere that has like a bunch of artifacts from previous seasons and like busts of winners, and you can like go and pay homage to our great heroes of reality TV? I feel like that should, maybe just for like reality TV in general, a hall of fame of like the greats of reality television. I feel like that'd be amazing.
I love that idea. Light a candle in honor of Sandra. Like, that's
yeah,
so
exactly. No, I want the bust of Boston Rob next to an oil painting of New York spitting on pumpkin from I love from Flavor of Love. Like, I really love the reality.
Pumpkin on the stairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want something pooping on the stairs. Actually, you know what?
Where the bathroom is.
It can just be Survivor and Flavor of Love. That's two
fine.
Shows I need the in two, the reality.
Yeah, the Titans.
Yeah, two Titans. Well, that was sort of Ghost Island, though, right? Wasn't that the entire concept was like, it's sort of a Survivor? Well, that's more so, I guess, a Survivor Hall of Shame, right? Because like that was where past mistakes went to die. Of here are all these relics from mistakes. It was almost like a Survivor haunted house in honor of the late holiday. Of like, this is what could happen to you. Don't do this. So I think we do need a more positive spin on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, and again, I think we could lump it all together. I don't know where in the country this would be. Like, what is the appropriate city for a reality TV Hall of Fame? You know, of course, I want to say LA, but I feel like that's just not quite right. I don't know.
Like, what's the most? Yeah, the most the most survivory town. You know what it should be? Yeah. Aren't Sarah Lucina and Denise are from the same town, aren't they?
Okay, so yeah, the place with the most Survivor winners, which happens to be, where are they from?
I think they're in Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah, I think people, it's fitting. Flyover State no more. You are now host of the Survivor/Flavor of Love reality TV Hall of Fame.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah, I think, imagine Flavor Flav and Boston Rob for the ribbon cutting ceremony. That's what we're going to get.
Oh, God.
Liana, do you have any ideas of what should be shouted by contestants upon winning?
I mean, obviously, this has been a season of nonsensical phrases. So do we want to stay in that vein of just the you know, assortment of randomly selected four words together, password style? Is that what you want to go with? Or do you want something more coherent? I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards nonsense because that is generally how I live my life. But I feel like it could very much fit here. Now, how do you top I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf? I don't know.
I don't know. I think you gotta just throw out some random words. Like, you just gotta be like, tutti frutti! And then, it's like, float them out, I think, as well. If you're one of these Colby Donaldson types and you go on a win streak, just try out different ones, right? Go through your pitch session and see what works on these test audiences. See how they respond. To Justin's point, I think if Jeff likes it, do the opposite. Because I think it's very clear he is not necessarily a good litmus test when it comes to whether or not things work.
Yes, with his classic phrase, dig deep. I love that Jeff would also quote himself. I think that's something that just really encapsulates Jeff as a human being, someone who's willing to quote themselves.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got one more piece of advice here for you, or advice being sought. My trimates and I have been getting along great. I really like them all. However, every time we go to an immunity challenge, one of them keeps telling everyone that he truly believes butterflies are his dead relatives saying hi. At first, I thought it was nice that he felt comfortable enough to share that with us. But at this point, it's like he's going out of his way to work it into every one of these conversations. He's met with awkward silence each time, but he keeps going for it anyway. How can I best let him know that he needs to stop trying to make this weird catchphrase happen? thanks, a confused goat on AstroTurf.
Yeah. Well, Mike, this person's come in with a fully formed bit. They've executed it really well, and I don't need to add anything to their work of fiction. I think it landed just fine. I don't have to wade in. It is a one person. So it's a winner, and I think that they crushed it. Good job, question asker. I appreciate you.
I will say, so I've got two friends who are Big Brother fans, but are starting to watch.
Oh, how do we feel about them? Let's talk. let's talk more about the perverts that enjoy Big Brother. Watching people, they're not even on an island. You all know that, right?
This is the real advice question here. How do we get my friends to stop watching Big Brother?
How do we get everyone to stop watching Big Brother? Because it's for perverts. My mother-in-law has been telling me about Big Brother for no bullshit a decade now. And I love the woman. She is a mother to me. I don't know how to get her to stop telling me about Big Brother. Because that show, my friend Rissy, I think she's paid for like the all access to Big Brother. I don't get it, guys. Listen, I'm a distinguished gentleman. I like refined, tribal-based island entertainment.
Of course.
I'm not going to watch sleazy Big Brother with my worst enemy's eyes. I don't get it.
What does she tell you about Big Brother?
Just like fun things that happen or like twists or like...
Okay.
The one time there was a guy named Ronnie on Big Brother that was from Huntington, West Virginia, where I live. And that was caused quite the stir in town. And it's like a bigger deal than I made a 6-episode TV show there that got the network canceled. And I was a little bit maybe butthurt about that. But
you never live up to Ronnie.
I think that Big Brother is puerile. And I find people that watch it to be a lesser than myself, a distinguished gentleman.
All right, great. Well, I'll pass that along.
Yeah, I think we should just clip this part out and use it like almost political campaign style to
make it a TikTok. I don't care if it gets one person to be like, maybe this show that I've been watching is kind of sleazy. Then I would. So the ranking for me is like Amazing Race, Survivor, Big Brother. If you organize those, and I don't watch Amazing Race. Because that's for people who are a little bit fancier than myself. Oh, okay.
So you don't you rate it out of your own league.
Exactly, yes. Right?
Okay.
They like, you get some culture on Amazing Race, and I don't necessarily need that. There's some legs of Amazing Race that are not elimination, so I don't necessarily care for that.
Well, sorry about this episode then.
Yeah, right. I know. That stung. So, like, I don't know. So the Amazing Race, it gives all the Emmys and stuff. Like, that's a little bit above me. Big Brother's below me. I know my place. It's right here. It's right.
Yeah, you're Goldilocksing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you trying to create another berries and cream sensation now? Like, you've been once bin, twice shy with TikTok, and you're like, you know what? Take any audio that I put out there and make it into a TikTok now.
I uploaded the berries and cream sound in January of 2021, and it is inarguably the greatest cultural impact I will ever have. And I don't say that as a joke. It actually stings quite a bit to admit it, but I've made my peace with it. The most lasting impact I will have on this planet is bringing back berries and cream to this generation. And that's fine. Not everybody, you know, not everybody gets to live amongst the stars. So let's only glimpse them and then bring a picture back and show it to some Gen Z people. And then they laugh at it and do a TikTok of it forever. And that's some of us, that's our fate.
I'm excited to see it in the TikTok / Vine museum one day.
Someday.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the stop playing Among Us angry video, but do that for Big Brother is essentially Justin's argument at the moment.
Yeah, that's it.
There we go.
In a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say, Leon? Before we went off on that.
Oh my gosh! Well, now I don't even remember. I feel like I shouldn't be talking to my friends anymore. I should just leave them. They started watching Survivor. And there was a thing that I was going to say about it. Ah, yes, the dead relative saying hello. it has just caught on in the vernacular, that of just including that random piece of phrase in regular conversations. Well, just me making jokes about something like, ah, yes, like dead relatives saying hello or whatever it is. So for some reason, that has really made an impact, and much more than Dig Deep ever could.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Again, don't try too hard, Jeff. Sometimes these things just naturally come out. I think repetition also helps, right? Xander was the first one to say it, and so he had to be the one that says it the most. I guess that is the most popular one out of the three, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Brad butchered the broccoli tree one, so
right, that's the
really
problem
get
with
it.
That it has like an ugly twin, right? It has two different versions of it. Goat on AstroTurf, I think, takes the silver because it's a fun metaphor.
It's a real phrase you could say.
Yeah. Well, when early on people were trying to work it into conversation, I feel like later it's just like, I'm going to say this and see if it's anything. I'm just going to throw it out there. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So, Mike, is that it for the advice?
Yeah, I think we answered everyone's advice. Everyone's a better person now, and nobody will ever watch Big Brother again. Thanks to
good. Glad I can help. Don't tweet at me about Big Brother. I will block you. Okay. Please don't tweet at me. I know exactly what kind of person you are. If you're going to try to defend Big Brother to me. Oh, sheesh.
All right. Mission accomplished. Well, let's move into a little game that I've prepared for us today. And this is the Survivor Limerick Challenge. So as we know, Survivor full of challenges. So let's play a little bit of a Limerick Challenge. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to read a Survivor related Limerick with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in the last word or phrase correctly, you will earn a point and we'll go back and forth between the two of you. So again, reminder, the Limerick rhyming scheme is A-A-B-B-A. And I'll give an example here to start. So if tree mail, which we got to see in this episode for the merge, if it was written as a limerick, it might go something like this. Every season, the castaways unify as one because the tribe portion of Survivor is done. But never fear, because rewards are here. But first, we're going to have some fun. So the word that you fill in there would be fun.
What gave you the inspiration for this? Like, did Jeff talk in a limerick over the course of this episode that
this
I don't remember?
Is blatantly stolen from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me as a format. So thank you, NPR. They do the Listener Limerick Challenge every week. And that's what this is based off of. And I just heard some words and some phrases this episode that I thought could really fit this format. So, Mike, we'll start off with you. So this is your first limerick. This season, Xander is playing for glory. And so far, it's been quite the story. But after a challenge that felt never ending, his fate is now pending because he's currently stuck in...
Mergatory!
Yes! That is... ding, ding, ding. That is correct. Yes, a very fun phrase, which I think we learned is actually Tiffany came up
with. Yeah. All right. So here's a little bit of a fun story. So I tweeted during the show being like, oh, like I love mergatory. I love red buffers, which I think is the other term Xander came up with. Like, I like these little phrases. I receive a DM from one Tiffany Seeley saying, that was my phrase. That's not Xander's phrase. The little shit stole my phrase. And then proceeded to, once the Survivor official account tweeted about it, she then went public with said knowledge. And I'm here for this. You know, I think on reality TV, we often question how truthful is a person to who they are on the island as off island. I think we can see that Tiffany is the real deal because she is someone to take out all the axes to grind. If you are going public with something that she should get the credit for.
Mm-hmm. She is a character for sure. She is very interesting. All the eye rolls when Xander was revealing his idol or advantage, whatever he had. She's one to watch for sure. All right, Justin, this next limerick is for you.
Okay.
Erica is off to Exile Island where she shivers. Getting water from the pot, not the rivers, but a big decision to make and an hourglass to break. All because Danny lied about paper rock. I, accept that answer. Yes.
I love it.
Why does he keep saying it wrong?
When Jeff corrected him.
Even when Jeff. It is the same. I understand it's the same thing. But this is not what we say. I don't know how it is. It like regional? Like regional? Like I know some places call it like Rochambeau. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know Japan, it's very big there. They have a different name for it in Japan. It's just very, I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's weird. I asked several international people and they say like from like, Oceania and Australia and New Zealand, apparently they say scissor, rock, paper. So apparently it's just like pick your poison, pick your weapon. I guess the purpose of it is that they all defeat something and lose to something. So it doesn't matter what you.
No, no, it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess rock, paper, scissors. With paper, rock, scissors, paper beats rock. Yes, rock beats scissors. But in rock, paper, scissors, rock doesn't beat paper.
So did we just stumble? Does Danny have the correct way of working through the flow chart here?
I mean, I don't know, but what is more culturally acceptable? I mean, no one's going to know what he's talking about if he keeps saying paper, rock, scissors.
Do you think
paper, rock, scissors is a better name for it, actually?
Yeah, the more you think, paper, rock, scissors actually like follows the proper.
I feel like structure. If I hear someone say it one more time, I'm going to forget the right.
Yeah,
the right way of doing it.
Well, it also it makes me wonder, though, do you think they actually pretended to play it when they claim that they did that? Because otherwise, how are you supposed to fabricate the story?
Yeah.
I looked. I didn't see, at least what we were shown, there was no, you know, rocks or papers or scissors being thrown in their little discussion. So if I was Erica, I'd be like peeking around trying to see if they actually did the hand motions.
That I feel like was the other thing, the way Jeff reacted to that. Like the other thing that you can't do on Survivor that he hates almost as much as throwing challenges is leaving anything to chance. Like it is unthinkable to Jeff that you would even pretend to leave something up to fate.
But it's so weird because when they did that whole rock chart to begin with, he goes into this monologue like he's talking like it's already the post-apocalyptic version of someone playing out Survivor, right? Of like, in Survivor, sometimes your chances come down to luck and it all starts with the draw of a rock. And he's monologizing about that, and then if he comes forward, it's like, paper, rock, scissors, how dare you? Survivor only uses chance when I say it uses chance,
right?
Otherwise,
right,
you better be making decisions on your own will.
No rock, no paper, no scissors, only die or cubes or whatever it is. All right, let's get into, we've got one more each. This one's maybe a little bit more difficult. Mike, let's go to you. At the challenge, the tribes had to roll her, pushing her weight around with their shoulder. Jeff stayed true to his brand, saying dig deep in the sand so the tribes could push out the massive
boulder.
Yes, I remember he specifically referred to it as a boulder and not a ball, because I was like, Jeff, say massive balls.
Are you saying it was right there? Maybe that. So I think there are many things that have changed from Jeff realizing that the show is for kids. I think, unfortunately, the ball puns have gone the way of the dodo, because otherwise, like, I don't know. I don't know right how there. He feel inspiring right these kids with euphemisms about testicles.
I got my really annoyed my wife during that challenge because I kept thinking out loud how you would begin to build something like that. I know that's a wild thing to be thinking about. I was like, it was just so big. And I was just thinking about like when the props department was like, how big? Like, no, like really big. Should it be heavy? Yes. Should it be like, it has to be absolutely extremely sturdy, because if it breaks during the challenge, like the whole thing is ruined. Like, what an annoying thing to have to come up with and the weight of it has to be so perfect that it's like hard to push but still like not impossible to put. Like, what an unthinkable engineering challenge for those poor people to have to undertake. That's so rude.
What's it made out of, right?
Like, exactly, some guy there, right? Now you're wondering, it's like, what is it? What do they do?
Like, obviously it can't be paper mache because it has to be durable, so right? Is it, I don't know, is there more chicken wire? Is it plaster?
Well,
I don't know.
I wonder if they put the contestants who have been voted off into the balls just to like not only weigh them out, but also like do a little bit of your passes coming back to reckon with you, right? You have to push JD around. Here's Abraham. He's actively sabotaging you by sitting in the ball.
It's a Zorb right? That's the thing that you get in and you have to run around in. They like run backwards to try
It's sentient. It's got a mind of its own. Where's it going?
Yeah, that'd be the challenge, right? You have to wrangle your living ball and put it in its place so you can climb up to the top. I mean, listen, zorbing is dangerous fun. Jeff talks about the best type of fun is the dangerous fun.
It's on brand. On brand. All right, here's our last limerick. Justin, this one is for you. They're a ragtag group, that's for sure. And from them, I want to see more. Went to tribal in the beginning, but now they be winning. Will the sole survivor come from the Yase?
Four?
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct. Yes.
Stay with conviction.
Yase four.
Four.
You got this. I mean, you know, Xander was talking about this group. We've heard a lot from them. They lost a little bit in the beginning, but now they just seem to be such a strong group. You've got Liana with her advantages. You've got Xander with his advantages. There's a little bit of infighting with all of the Tiffany, Liana.
Yeah, I was going to say like
Xander
strong,
drama, but
they're about as strong as that paper mache boulder, right? Like, I feel like there's very little underneath all that chicken wire when you break through it.
It was very strong in the challenge, Mike. How dare you? I don't know. I thought it was interesting because Xander has this whole confessional. He talks about them being a ragtag group and all of that. And I just do wonder how much we're going to see from them moving forward. I think we kind of missed out I'm happy that none of them left, but I think we kind of missed out a little bit seeing them or not seeing them go to tribal because it seems that the dynamics there are very interesting with all of the distrust sort of waiting to burst.
I saw something interesting because Tiffany, I don't know if you all noticed, said Baruch Hashem when they actually got rice for once. And so it was sort of outed that she is Jewish. Apparently, so is Evie and so is Liana. So it was an alliance, not only, you know, clad in women working together, but also across a common faith, too. Who would have thought? But yeah,
where is that season? Right. Like we did race. Fine. Where is my season that pits religion versus religion? That's what I need.
Yeah. Jeff will love that right Let's after he got it, rid yeah. of guys.
Remember the Crusades? It's back thousands it's back. Of years later. Oh, my goodness.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, congratulations to the both of you. You did fabulous on these limericks. And I think that was a lot of fun.
And none of them were dirty, but I think it's only because Jeff called them a boulder and not a ball. Otherwise, you would have really gone in a dangerous direction with that.
Oh, believe me, I was ready, especially one of them was blue. So I was, you know, very much ready for this. But no, he chose boulder. Sadly.
Wait, and the blue group is presumably going to be the one that gets immunity revoked next time, right? So like they really are. They're not going to be able to finish.
Truly blue balls indeed.
Oh my goodness. Well, this was a really great time. I know that, you know, Justin has a lot of things to do, a lot of things to check off that list. So we are happy to have him for any amount of time that he's able to talk some Survivor with us. But this was a really, really great time.
No, I'm not ready. Please, you can't kick me off your show yet. Don't vote me out yet. I want to get some hot takes from you all.
Oh,
as
okay.
experts. I want to see in terms of Where I wanted to see like where you all stood on some stuff, like where are you at on Jeff addressing us directly and making me feel so very visible and fragile and vulnerable?
Oh, good question.
Yes, very much a violation of sorts somehow of him.
I'm not here, Jeff.
Oh, God.
Talk to them.
Thing is, there was a period of time where he did it in the beginning, right? Like he talked to us in the very first scene. Then there was one time where he's like, all right, we're going into tribal council.
Yes.
Here we go. Then then it left for a while. And I'm like, okay, is it done? And then it comes back in this episode. It's a little inconsistent.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. Yeah, it definitely feels like, you know, when you go see the musical Cats and the cats come out into the audience and start don't just get back on stage. I don't want to be a part of this.
So in this case, is Jeff Grisabella? Is he Old Deuteronomy?
Old Deuteronomy would be the closest parallel, I think, because you have that like insane song that Old Deuteronomy sings about cats being ineffable and says effable like 15 times.
And a cat and that a cat is not a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That would be one of the phrases like, oh, Jeff, you know what? A cat is definitely not a dog. I've realized that about my time on the island.
Dog deep. So how do you feel? What's the verdict?
I mean,
like or dislike?
It definitely is going to take some getting used to. My initial reaction, of course, was dislike. Like, please, I'm just here to observe. I think that's the whole issue with Jeff trying to get us to participate also with the Rebus puzzles. He's like trying to get this interaction through the screen, and I just don't think it's working. Like, I want to watch a product. I don't want to be part of that product.
Yeah, don't involve me.
I think it's something where, like, the interactivity has already been there for 20 years, and it's almost like by bringing it up, you almost undo it in a way. Like, the unconsciousness was already there. You don't necessarily now need to cater to that. You already have a formula that allows people to interact for better or for worse. And so I would say at the moment, it is still one of those, like, weird things of, okay, this is quirky. This is unique. I do feel like the bloom has fallen off the rose a little bit, specifically because he is sort of letting us know things, but sort of not. Like, he doesn't go into detail about this merge situation. All he says is,
right,
all right, it's a two-part episode. This is going to be wild. Here we go. Like, no, if you're going to talk to us, I'd like some more information, personally.
Along those lines, though, I did enjoy the way that they're letting the facade fall a little bit with, like, showing crew more often. And I like that they had one person who was actually, like, from Fiji, like, who lived in the area, that, like, actually showed, like, no, it's, like, not a weird exotic, you know, Bali High, you know, like, it is an actual place that people, like, live and conduct themselves, and, like, that, and showing the crew more often and making it seem like a more lived in thing, I think, is very cool, because, like, I think that it that makes it feel a little bit more real to me than anything else. It's always like, if you ever watched, like, Man versus Wild, you know, the show, or I'm sure there's similar parallels you could draw, where, like, everything he's doing, you forget there's a camera person, like, 2 feet away doing the exact same things. You know what I mean? Like, I think that dropping that a little bit and, like, showing some of that, was cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm. They did it one time in Koh Rong when they had all the medical evacuations. They sort of pulled back and we got to see everything. And I agree. I think that's the level of involvement that I'm happy to have with Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that idea of, like, let's not, like, an employee of the month thing, but, like, it's cool sometimes to be like, hey, here's someone who works on our staff who, like, place, because I've been out onto set. I've seen the literal hundreds of hands that work together to push this giant boulder over to the ladder that is this show. And so I think it's cool to acknowledge it. And I agree. I think that's the part of the fourth wall breaking that I like. So I think, like, you know, less about acknowledging us and more so about acknowledging them is probably where I would want this thing to go.
Okay. Previous Survivor thing that has been a thing in previous seasons. Gimmicks or bits that you wish would make a comeback in this season. Like, you could pluck one thing out and, like, put it in. I'll start with mine, since I've introduced the concept. Cause it's, for me, it's a tie. I'll use two. I'm sorry to be greedy, but one is, if the season doesn't have an auction, I feel like that something has been lost. I adore auction. It's so funny to watch people buy garbage, or the idea that the thing that auction does, it's its secret superpower that no one talks about, is that sometimes you end up with someone that is holding pieces of American money that have less than no value. You know what I mean? Like, it's the idea of fiat currency is, like, blown wide open, where it's like, but I have $100. It's like, you have nothing. You don't have anything. You're on Survivor. That $100, throw it in the fucking fire. So I like that. The other thing that I miss is heavily branded prizes.
Yes.
It's like, I know it's so cheesy and cringe to look back now, but there's nothing that got me, like, excited more than when Jeff would be like, and tonight you're gonna be watching Gulliver's Travels. We set up a fucking movie theater, and he would always add stuff in, because it's not exciting to just listen to Gulliver's Travels. Obviously, I'd be like, you're gonna have fresh hot butter popcorn, all the soda you can drink, and you're gonna be among the first to watch Gulliver's Travels. And then on top of that, afterwards, We have to have the bit where the contestants are doing the like movie script.
Yeah, like, I just got out of this. This is my favorite movie ever.
Really? Jack Black was so funny. I love it. That stuff are like, with it, people would get like Mountain Dew as prizes. That kind of thing where it's like a cold glass of Mountain Dew. I really miss those two things.
I know, I agree. But I think, so I agree. It's less so branded. Bringing back the brands, but more so bringing back the brands that you wouldn't want to viably go for, even if you were stranded on a desert island. Like, nobody's like, give me a trip to Applebee's. All right, please. I'll like check that off.
It makes you appreciate it anew, though. You appreciate Doritos so much more seeing someone right. greedily slurp them down.
Liana, do you have any ideas about things you would want to bring back?
So all I can think of is Casa de Charmin when Charmin sponsored one of the rewards.
The best.
Yeah, the best. The other thing that I can think of that's sort of along similar lines is when Jeff would leave the final tribal council, take a jet
ski
all the way to the, you know, the live reunion to read the votes. I think that that's something I would love to see back. Yeah, so fun.
He gets a haircut, apparently, in between like the helicopter. Flight
a barber like wearing a military helmet and everything just giving him the bolt cut on the way over. I miss those intros. I miss those like highly stylized, here's some random, there's that aforementioned b-roll that Justin's talking about, complete with like some slow-mo shots of people covered in sand and challenges or like hauling a heavy log around camp. I feel like we've been undone with that. It really was a slow playoff where it's like, all right, we'll only do it in certain episodes. Okay, now we'll only do it in the premiere. Now we're not doing it at all. It was really death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. And I feel like that's something I would love to bring back, not only because it helps you track the contestants, but also to like have these people live, no matter how they're personified on TV, they should have their gifable moment of glory, right? Where they look absolutely epic in their intro shot. Give that moment back to them, Survivor.
Okay, my last question is this. I think it's something that has really stuck out to me about this season is where Jeff makes a big point of talking about like the extent to which everything has been reimagined. It's like such a fresh start for Survivor. And there's like things that do feel like consequential, but the extent to which it has not been thoroughly reimagined is like perhaps more jarring in that sense. Like, the fonts are the same. The music cues are the same. Jeff is the same. You know, like so much of it, of that stays in place. And it got me thinking about like what, like if you were to actually like reinvigorate this in a way that would like get people talking again, like how much do you have to keep to call it Survivor? Because I feel like it is so wedded. So like it's holding. I feel like Survivor sometimes doesn't know why Survivor is still on it. Like maybe like doesn't quite trust that Survivor is still on the air. You know what I mean? And like doesn't know exactly. It's like the dude in Big Lebowski, like the rug was holding the whole room together. Sometimes I get the sense that Survivor doesn't know what exact piece is like keeping the whole thing spinning. It actually doesn't want to mess with it that much.
That's really interesting. What is it to be a reimagined Survivor, right? What are the threads that need to persist? Is it the island, right? Or is it something else, right? Because we've seen Survivor be in so many different places. Obviously, right. They've hunkered down in Fiji now for different reasons. So is it that? Is it the castaways, the challenge format? I don't know. Because, yeah, they're playing with so many different things and introducing so many different twists that definitely doesn't feel reimagined necessarily.
Or it's let's reimagine more so like a reboot of an old classic film where they're like, all right, we're going to modernize it and update it and make all these references. And it's like, okay, great. But you didn't really reimagine it. You more so sort of like copied and pasted it and added some things on top of that. And I totally agree with you, Justin, that it's interesting to think about why the show feels like it's still successful, because I think we are all three in agreement. I think a lot of the fan bases as well, that like we come for the people. We want to see the people play. I think it's somewhere along the way, production got in their heads of like, okay, people are watching for the big moves, for the big flashy things that happen. And so let's throw more things in the game that will produce that rather than necessarily relying on the people to do that without many mechanisms. In terms of like, what is sort of part of the human genome of Survivor, I would say probably voting, I think, is like the base level. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. one of those nucleotides, I suppose, of the double helix of Survivor. Is like, no matter what, somebody's going to be voted off. And I know that from watching a bunch of international versions, like the host has changed, the locations have changed, the formats have changed. But no matter what, somebody's voted off or eliminated at the end of each episode. I think as long as you have that, you have Survivor, or at least some version of it, rather than, I think once you take that away, then you're really losing the core of what it is.
So the votes, that's like the fundamental. I think so. I think also if you think back to what Borneo was, there so much was rooted in the whole concept of voting, right? And you get Dr. Sean with the alphabet strategy of how he's going to vote. Like, it is truly all about the votes. Maybe that's why Survivor threw in so many extra votes this season. They were like, Mike, we heard you in the future say, we smashed our hourglass and we heard you say votes were the core of Survivor. So we're going to give you 1,000 extra votes this season.
Well, either you're welcome or I apologize to anyone out there, depending on your thoughts about it. Justin, any more hot takes you would either like to provide or get from us before we close things out here?
No, I think that this is a very good set. I feel like that my wish would be, I would really like to see a sort of like stripped down season that like did away with a lot of the, like, what does a Survivor look like that is no idols and it's just people, like, mm-hmm. versus people. Like, and I feel like what that requires is a trust in the fact that you have nailed the cast, right? Because otherwise, it's like, uh-oh, this is boring. No one's going to like this. But, like, it might also be, like, really energizing to watch. I don't know. I don't know what it would be exactly. But I feel like that would be something that I would be, because I really do miss getting to know people. Like, I think one of the coolest things about the tribe that was down to three is, like, you really get to know those people. And the one thing I do like about plucking out two people to have them go on a vision quest together is like that connection between these two people where Sean and Leanne just like clicked, like, and it just like, you could tell it was, at least to me, an outside observer, like genuine, just like these people get each other. And like that's the magic, or the scene between Ricard and Sean. In a perfect world, your mechanics are facilitating those things. They're not like at the center of those things. Because when you think about it, really, like, it is so rare that an advantage is impactful. I mean, like, really, you could count on one hand. I mean, so the majority of time, I would argue that people go home with it in their pocket. They burn it because they're already playing well. They don't need it, or they use it at the wrong time. And it's like, who cares? Or it sinks them because they tell everybody they have it. And anyway. But I think it'd be interesting to see how the show fares without that, and was just more focused on the interpersonal stuff. But
yeah, I mean, listen, I much like Shan, you were preaching to the choir here. I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But I would suggest you and anyone else out there who's agreeing with Justin, the international seasons really do hearken closely to a lot more of that old school values. I know Australian Survivor is currently on Paramount Plus, South African Survivors out there as well. So Survivor does exist out there, maybe in that more nubile form. But I do agree. I think it would be nice to at least have things focus back on the people and feel like the trust can be in the hands of the players rather than giving them a bunch of toys and saying, okay, make this fight happen. Give them a cardboard box and say, okay, you can do anything you want to, and let their imaginations go wild.
Because I feel like this season is a little bit hampered by the fact that they've got a great cast. Like, I really like this cast of people, especially for like an all new, like no sort of rocks to build on. Like, I love this cast. I think it's a real shame that they're in this like truncated, very accelerated pace season with like all these new mechanics and stuff like that, where I feel like they could have, of course, like I said, hindsight's 2020. I bet the producers of the show, this is not lost on them. I'm sure that has occurred to them as well. Like, you know, we didn't need all this stuff that we created. But anyway, now I'm just rambling about Survivor. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Rambling about Survivor is our subtitle, man. So like, perfect. You are here. So
I'm a good company, I guess.
So if for anyone who wants to check out all the other ramblings you might do non-Survivor wise into microphones at any point in time, how can people catch up with everything you're doing? I know you got something coming up very recently, but on social media as well as out there in the podsphere.
So I'm Justin McElroy on social media. If you go to McElroy Family, I record a bunch of different shows with my family. My wife is a physician and I do a medical history show called Sawbones. It's a funny medical history show. We have my brother and me. It's an advice show. It's a comedy advice show. We have The Adventure Zone, which is an actual play podcast kind of deal. If you like that sort of thing, and you can find all of it at McElroyFamily.com.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm staring right now at all my copies of the Adventure Zone graphic novels and my wife's copy of the Sawbones book. So yes, we are a very awesome McElroy literate family.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So much fun to have you on to talk about this. Liana, what do you have going on?
Yes. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about The Masked Singer, although we took a week off because of the World Series, aka the show took a week off. But we'll be back to talk about all of the absolute messiness going on The Masked Singer with Puya and myself.
Is it like particularly messy, unusually messy, or is it just a
it's always messy? It's a bunch of washed up celebrities in costumes singing. So, yes, the normal level of messy.
Amazing. Well, if you want to check out all the other messy stuff that's going on, and just in general, of course, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. Of course, over on Post Show Recaps, I'm talking Lost, almost done with season 6 of Lost, talking Ab Eterno this week, an episode focusing on the Jeff Probst equivalent himself, Richard Alpert, about why he is immortal. Really excited to talk about that. I'm talking with my wife, Angela, about the X-Files too. From a survivor perspective, obviously, I took a week off of doing exit press because of the lack of elimination. But whoever is going, due to all of these big twists and turns and hourglass breaks, I'll be sure to be talking with them this week on Parade.com. I'm sure they have a lot of thoughts, whoever they are, as to everything that befell them over that 2-day period. So be sure to check that out. And you can check out all the other interviews I did with the previous castaways that ended up probably spinning around in those Zorbs that were being pushed around by the contestants during the challenge. So yeah, follow me at a Mike Bloom type. I also appeared, going to be appearing on a couple of other podcasts that I'll plug coming up in the next couple of weeks. Speaking of that, next week, Liana and I are going to have our good friend, RJP's very own Ali Lasher of the Challenge coverage on to talk about Survivor. Justin, where does the Challenge fall in line with you of your hierarchy of what are the groundlings, you know, the high marque boxes of this proverbial reality TV theater?
Seems like something that sort of a Big Brother thing to me. I don't really watch, you know, I must say there's a whole subcategory of Big Brother. It's in this Big Brother subgenre. It's in the BBU, the Big Brother universe.
Yeah, where Julie Chen Moonves shows up with an eye patch and tells you right to come join her. So she'll be on next week. Really excited about that. Thank you all so much for listening. Justin, again, thank you so much for coming on and talking Survivor with us. A true pleasure.
I also should have plugged, I'm sorry, my Pirate Master rewatch podcast. We're going through all the episodes, even the ones that didn't make it to TV.
Did you get your inner tube subscription refilled?
Thank you for having me. This has been really fun. Thank you.
All right. Special thanks to Scott.
Master of Pirate Masters. If I could just plug Master of Pirate Masters.
Yeah, MOPM coming to a podcatcher near you.
But we're actually having to steal the footage. So it's actually Master of Pirate Masters. Because we're pirating the
and Justin just dove out of frame like he fainted during a challenge. Dr. Joe, get on over there, or Dr. Sydney. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. Wolf from America for his fantastic theme song. We'll be back next week. Thank you all so much for listening. Until next week, we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I